Well, the topic for today is the one of endurance. Endurance is that trait that you need when you're on a car ride and the next town is 400 miles away. Oh, just did a trip to St. Louis, and all those times you're like, can we stop? Can we stop? No, we're gonna have to wait 80 miles till the next stop. But worse than the 80-mile sign for the next stop, maybe the worst sign in America, or maybe the worst sign in the world, is this sign. How is that a thing? This is, if you've ever entered Texas from Louisiana on I-10, is the sign that says El Paso, 857 miles away. Like, why would they do that? If not to just to say, like, let me show you how awesome we are. We got 857 miles. But if you are trying to go to El Paso from Louisiana, the sign should be something more along lines of, instead of 857, it should be like, turn around. Stop what you're doing. You're an idiot. Nothing is worth this. And I don't know if you've ever felt that way before. Going on road trips and you're just like, what? Are they speaking to me? Did they change? I feel like it's getting bigger than it's shorter. I don't know what's happening here. And so today we're going to be talking about endurance and what to do when you feel like giving up, when you feel like throwing in the towel and feel like quitting. And we can joke about road trips and things like that, but what's burdened me these last couple of months is something that I don't know about you, but I think all of us may know someone in our lives who once followed Jesus, who once had the light of Jesus inspiring them, to then one day just, it's gone out. It's gone cold. The fire is dead. And they say, no, church isn't for me anymore. And that, it is just wrecking me thinking about what that means for them. And so as today, as we are about to embark upon this journey with 11 baptisms today, which I think is so exciting, 11 baptisms, 11 people saying, Lord, I want to follow you to the ends of the earth. I'm thinking about them right now, and I'm thinking about the parable of the sower, where the seeds get scattered and some fall among thorns. Some fall among rocks. And for whatever reason, people might have started out in the faith, but then they shrivel up, or they throw in the towel and they quit. And so today, I want us to think about these baptisms that we're going to be a part of, participate in, and excited for their baptism. But I want you to use that as a tool to remind you of your baptism. When was it that you were baptized? When was it that you gave your life to the Lord? When was it that you said, Lord, I'll follow you wherever you go? And some of us may have started out on that trail, and maybe we've taken a more circuitous route. Some of us may have gotten off the route. And so I just really want to encourage you, every single one of us here, like, this is going to be hard. Following Jesus is hard, and I worry for those who are being baptized this morning that maybe we've painted too rosy a picture for you of what it means to follow Jesus. I think sometimes we say, you know, when I gave my life to the Lord, everything got better. Like, I saw the light, no more darkness, no more night. Well, there's been some dark times. Sometimes the walk in Christianity feels like this happy, breezy walk. And we're like, here's what it is to go on this path. Just walk, and it's all flat, and it's great. And you're like, this is awesome. I love being a Christian. And there are times that it's great, and it's encouraging. But I just want to prepare you. It would be malpractice if a guide told you this is the walk, and then it turned out to be more like this. And saying, that's all it is. It's a nice, steady walk. And really, it's a slog. It's a climb up the mountain. And if you've ever been in the faith for a while, you realize it can be hard. It can be hard to hold on to your faith when everyone else seems to be questioning, and you go, should I be questioning those things too? And so I want us to, I don't want to like overdo it and say like it's the worst. But I also want to not undersell this. I think it's actually important for us to say that what we are signing you up for, what we are encouraging you to join in on, is a long slog, which is the title of my sermon, Endure the Long Slog of Christianity. We're going to be called to endure the long slog of Christianity. And so, as Paul sets out in this passage to talk about what endurance is, in verse 8, knowing that it's going to be a slog, he says, remember Jesus Christ. Verse 8, remember Jesus Christ. And then in verse 9, for which I am suffering, even to the point of being chained like a criminal. But God's word is not chained. Therefore, I endure everything for the sake of the elect, that they too may obtain the salvation that is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. And so if following Jesus is a slog, if it's like walking through mud, it can be difficult. Sometimes you're just like, man, do I keep going? Is this worth it? You've been on those road trips. You're going, is it worth it? Shouldn't we just Google that place? Do we really need to see the inside of the cave? Sometimes we think of Christianity that way. We're like, is it really worth it? And for us, Paul says, remember Jesus. Remember Jesus. Remember that even he suffered. We are following a well-worn path. The person we're told to remember was the one who had the pinnacle of suffering on the cross. And Paul is telling his disciple Timothy from a jail cell, saying, remember who we follow. Suffering is part of it all. And so let's lean into that. And so the call here is to endure, to stand up. And when you endure something, you are called to stand up, to actually have grit, to be determined that no matter what might happen, I'm just going to put one foot in front of the other. Like, I don't really know where the end of this path is. I don't know if it's all uphill, if it's going to go downhill. I'm just going to dig down deep, and I'm going to endure. Do you have that trait? Do you have that quality in you? This is what Paul is calling us to do here. And I think when we think of endurance, another way of talking about endurance is think about it as loyalty. The reason I think that's in another way of thinking about endurance is because when he says that when you don't endure, he says you are disowning, you are betraying Jesus. And so when we think of loyalty, you think of something that you're loyal to. You're loyal to the cause. You're loyal to this path. I'm going to commit to this path, or I'm going to commit to this person. I'm loyal to this person. Now, I would say endurance, like loyalty, is neither good nor bad. That sounds weird to say, because I think when we think of loyalty or endurance, that's usually like a really positive trait. Like when someone's loyal to you, it feels great, right? When someone's loyal to you, like man, this person's got my back. It feels great. When you're loyal to your spouse, big fan, right? Like, loyalty is a great thing. But it can be dangerous when you are just saying, I'm going to be blindly loyal to this person no matter what. Just like when you're enduring something blindly no matter what, you might be enduring in the wrong direction. Think of it this way. Think of it like politically. Like, is it good to be loyal politically? Well, maybe in a sense, you're like, I can see why I want to commit to that. But if you're saying like, no, I'm going to commit. I want to be loyal to my political party. Is that a good thing? Well, what happens if your party changes its views on some things? Now, in that moment, you have a decision. You're saying, am I betraying my party or am I betraying my own values? Because I had these values that the party matched up with. But if the party switches, do I switch with it? Do I betray them or do I betray my own values? And so you can see loyalty and endurance in something can actually be harmful in that way. Or you think of it more of like you say, I'm conservative or I'm progressive. Which one are you? Are you committed to that identity that you are a conservative or that you are a progressive? Well, I think it should depend on what we are conserving and progressing. Like throughout the history of America, we've wanted to progress in some things, right? So we should be progressive, but there are some things we should also want to conserve, right? And so I don't think we should be able to say, like, no, I'm loyal to this position and saying that is who I am. I am a progressive. I am a conservative, right? I think we need to be able to go, like, what am I? It's the object of your endurance, the object of your loyalty that is at stake here. There's a great story about a young naval captain who was given his first battleship. His very first battleship, this giant destroyer, to go out at night. And so he's out at night on the open seas, just enjoying the freedom of driving this giant ship. And in the distance, he sees another ship's light coming directly at him. And so he gets on the radio and he says, alert, 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 alter your course 10 degrees. And radioing back to him says, alter your course 10 degrees. Ooh. You can think of, like, oh, this is going to be a fight. And so this naval captain gets on the radio and says, no, you alter your course 10 degrees. I am a destroyer. And you're like, that's a huge ship. You go into a destroyer, you're in trouble. And radioing back to the destroyer says, alter your course. I am a lighthouse. Heading directly into shore. And so sometimes blind loyalty heads you directly into wreckage, into the rocks. Is that person worth it? Is that person worth being that loyal to? Or do we need to alter our course, like this naval captain, and change and alter your direction? This is, I think, what we need to. There's times in our lives that we would say, yes, let's be loyal, let's endure, but there are times we need to say, is that worth it? And we need to alter our course 10 degrees or more. And when you come to Jesus and you give your life to Christ, there's a drastic altering of your course and saying, I will follow you to the ends of the earth, but why is Jesus worth it? That's the question. Is Jesus worth enduring for? If you've gone through the long slog of Christianity, is there a carrot at the end? Is there hope? And I want to tell you, as one who does describe it as a slog, it is absolutely worth it. Not because of just my words. Let me tell you what Paul says here. He says in verse 11, if we died with him, we will also live with him. If you died with Christ, he's saying, if you died with Christ, if you gave your life to Christ, you will live with Christ, meaning you will live eternity, into eternity. You will never taste that ultimate death. He's like, I'm giving you eternity with me. And then in verse 12, right after that, he says, if we endure, we will reign. We will also reign with Christ. So what God is inviting you onto on this path of following Christianity is endless life. And he's saying, and I'm not going to have you come be my servants. You're going to reign with me in the kingdom. Can you imagine? Can you imagine someone with all the power and authority in the world and not domineering it over you, but saying, I'm going to share it with you. We're going to be sharing this kingdom for all eternity, exploring the wonders of what God is doing in eternity here on earth and in the earth age to come. That is someone worth following. That's your future glorified self. And get to share the throne with the most humble, with the most graceful, the most loving human being, God human being ever to exist, right? This is Jesus who's saying, I'm going to give you everything, and I'm going to go give you everything, and I'm even going to die for you so you know it's worth it. So are you willing to die for me? That's what we're asking. Is it worth it? Is Jesus worth dying for? And Jesus died for you, so you know there's someone who's so for you that he cares for you, that he wants to give you everything. I would submit to you that he is someone worth dying for, someone worth giving everything for, because the Christian call is the call to endure no matter the cost. It is worth it. The resurrection doesn't erase the scars that you've endured. The resurrection doesn't erase the scars, it vindicates them. The resurrection makes sense of those scars. When we suffer, we don't sanitize the suffering. We remember the one who was wounded and executed by the state and yet now reigns as the Lord. And so the gospel doesn't avoid suffering, it redeems it. The gospel doesn't avoid your suffering that you're suffering right now. It's going to redeem it. It's going to make sense of it. To where you're going to look back one day and go, that's what you were doing. And so there are going to be some defining moments in your life, and maybe you're at that precipice right now where you're going to be called upon to either stand up for the God of the Scriptures, for Jesus as he's presented in the Gospels, or to cower down and follow the easy path. Paul is writing to Timothy in a time when Christians are being killed for this, saying, do you follow Caesar or do you follow Christ? At sword point. And people are asking, do I want to own Jesus or do I want to disown him? And if I disown him, as he tells me later, Jesus will disown us. I don't think there's a more relevant passage here in our time. Not because you and I are at gunpoint being asked to follow Christ or not. That's not the culture we live in. However, the reason I think it's the most relevant thing right now is because you are being asked to endure with Christ or to follow Christ or to follow the American Christianity, which is a disowning of Christ. In verse 12, it says, if we endure, we will also reign with him. If we disown him, he will also disown us, which makes me think of Matthew 10:33 when Jesus says, but whoever disowns me before others, I will disown before my Father in heaven. Man, that's a frightening verse. We would rather Jesus never have said that. That if we disown Jesus, he says, I'm going to disown you before my Father in heaven. And for us here today, we don't have the sword being pointed at us, but we do have American Christianity being thrust upon us and saying, follow this way, and I would argue that is a disowning of Christ. Do we want to follow Jesus as he's presented in the Sermon on the Mount and the Gospels of saying, that's the type of Jesus I want to follow, or do we want to follow the American revised version of that Jesus? It almost feels like at times, and I've talked to others here as well, it almost feels like there is a whole other Christianity happening alongside the Christianity that's being presented in the New Testament. There is a Christianity that seems to have nothing to do with the cross of Christ, a Christianity that says, let's bow to greed, let's bow to power and to the idols of our nation, let's not care for our neighbor, you know, not even talk about our enemies, we want to care about us. Us and us alone and our family. We're talking about immigrants. Are you kidding me? And to me, this is like, is this the Christianity that Jesus is talking about? And I would argue that endurance in our time right now is saying, I'm going to follow the way of Jesus, even if it costs me in this time. Even if it means that I'm going and I'm alienating myself. I'm going to follow Jesus because if I don't, the stakes are so severe that Jesus says, if you do not follow me, I will disown you before my Father in heaven. Well, intense, right? So far, we've only talked about our endurance, our perseverance. But we've not yet talked about Jesus' endurance and Jesus' perseverance. And I would argue that the whole arc of Scripture is saying the Scriptures are more about God than they are about us. They are more about what Jesus has done than what we have done. The arc of Scripture is saying, yes, endure. It's your life depends upon it. But also, God is so good. God is so good. And it makes you think of Peter. What happened to Peter? Like the disciple of Jesus. And before Jesus is about to be betrayed and be killed, he goes to Peter and he says in John 13:38, will you really lay down your life for me? Very truly, I tell you, before the rooster crows, you will disown me three times. And what happens? I don't even know the man. It's not a passive denial of who Jesus is. He's adamant, I do not know the man. And if he disowned Jesus, I bet you we would disown him too. And so the rooster crows and Peter is in shame. You can think of Judas and the shame that he felt as well of disowning But my question is, why does Jesus not follow through with Peter on this? Peter disowned Jesus. So now Jesus says, I shall disown you, right? What happens? He shows him grace. He shows him mercy. And this makes me come to verse 13. 2 Timothy 2:13 2:13 says, if we are faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot disown himself. If we are faithless. Oh, this is one of my favorite passages in Scripture, because I know how faithless I am. I know that my soul is prone to wander. If we are faithless, he remains faithful. And so if you felt like Peter, if you have disowned, if you have run away, he's saying, come back. This is your chance to come back. Because he remains faithful. And this is not an encouragement for you to just go run away because it doesn't matter. What this presents for us is this dilemma. There's this dilemma that this passage builds up. Is salvation a one-time decision or a lifetime of discipleship? That's the question. Is salvation a one-time decision or a lifetime of discipleship? And that's the question I want to ask all of those who are coming forward for baptism this Sunday, and for all of you who've been baptized and have been in the faith for a while. Was it just that one decision you made, or is this a lifetime commitment of discipleship? And what the passages in Scripture push us towards, you know, do we believe in once saved or always saved, or do we believe strive, endure, give everything? And I would argue that Scripture's answer to that question is yes. Should it be a one-time decision? Yes. Should it be a lifetime of discipleship? Absolutely. And like, if we disown him, is he going to disown us? Yes. But if we're faithless, is he going to remain faithful? Yes. I don't understand what's going on here. Well, this is why the Bible is this Eastern book. It's full of these paradoxes, this tension. It's not moralism of try harder or else, or relativism of it doesn't really matter what you do. No, it's saying that this is covenantal relationship terminology. There is accountability, but there's also assurance. This is endurance, but also I'm standing there with you. And think of it this way. When a ship is in a storm, what holds that ship in place? The anchor? And is it based on the strength of the anchor, in a sense? Yes. But more important is where that anchor is lodged. If that anchor is lodged between a couple of rocks, that ship is solid. It's not going anywhere. But if that anchor is just flailing about on the sand floor, that ship is going to be flailing about as well. And so what Paul is trying to say here is, where is your anchor lodged into? Where are you tied down to? Is it in Jesus, the only solid thing? Or is it something that's just going to continue to sway back and forth? Where is your anchor hope and your hope in right now? I would submit to you for us to put our hope and our anchor in Jesus, which is why Paul keeps coming back to them. He began with saying, remember Jesus, and he ends it in verse 14. He says, keep reminding God's people of these things. He's saying, remember Jesus, that the anchor that you have is going to hold, it's going to stick. And it's not about your grit and your endurance, but about the one you are holding on to you. And that one is also holding on to you as well. And so my so what for you this morning, what should I do with all of this? I want to give you an acronym of Go Red. Red, not as in, you know, the Red Hulk, but if that helps you think about it, sure. Go Red here. The first thing here is, as Paul says, to remember Jesus. Remember Jesus. When you feel like quitting, and every single one of us has thought about quitting something, but maybe you've thought about quitting church. You've thought about quitting the faith. You've thought about quitting something hard. I want you to pause and remember Jesus. Remember what he went through for you. Let's fly. Remember what he went through for you. And as you remember him, he didn't just go through that for you. He showed you, I'm going to walk this well-worn path that saints have walked for years. The church might be on the precipice of being in exile. Well, the church has always been in exile. And so you get to walk this well-worn path. But it's not just a path that ends in destruction. It goes through the valley, into the mountaintops, into glory. And that's where we're going. And so if you feel like quitting, I want you to remember your Savior Jesus. Remember his love for you. Remember what he has done for you. Secondly, endure. This is where it is vital for us to dig down deep, to find that grit, to say, I'm going to remember Jesus, but I'm not just going to stand there in place. Endurance isn't just about standing and letting the waves push onto you. It's actually throwing down the anchor, finding ways to endure, to stand up and to persevere. We're not just running out the clock here as Christians. We have lots of work to do. And so remember Jesus, endure, and then lastly, determine. Determine to know Christ and him crucified. 1 Corinthians 2:2, another one of my favorite passages, Paul says, "For I determined to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified." Do you think Paul knew other things besides Jesus Christ and him crucified? Of course he did. He's saying, I'm determining to have the thing that consumes my thoughts, the thing that I fixate on, is nothing but Jesus and him crucified. What consumes your thoughts? What is it that is constantly filling your brain? Is it the latest controversy? Is it what our president has done now? Is it a relationship? What is it that consumes your thoughts? Think about those things, because those things are really important. Those things are a distraction, as Paul is saying, to determine to know nothing except Christ and him crucified. Doesn't mean those things don't matter, but the thing that should be taking up our gaze is Jesus and him crucified. This is why Paul ends this passage in verse 14. He says, keep reminding God's people of these things, of Jesus and him crucified. Warn them before God against quarreling about words. Oh gosh, this feels like the word for our day. It is of no value. Twitter is of no value. It only ruins those who listen. Twitter only ruins those who listen, is what the scripture just said. Your phones are only ruining us. There are this image here of these phones. This is what our phones are doing to us. They are only killing us. When we get locked into these endless debates, it says these words only ruin us. You feel that? You feel that's happening to our society right now, that they're just ruining us? Doesn't mean these concepts, these arguments are not important. It's just, let's stop having them dominate what we think about. I feel like we're about to go run a race, and we say, let's drink whole milk before we do that. That's what we're doing by having our thoughts be so consumed with all this other crap. And then Paul's like, hey, have some spiritual electrolytes. There's something that, it's a long slog, and you're going to need Jesus on this long slog. Come to Jesus now and over and over and over again. We don't have time for these endless debates. And so here's my encouragement to you for all those who are being baptized today, but all those who've been baptized and are thinking about their own walk with Christ. Remember Jesus, endure, and determine to know nothing except Jesus and him crucified. Let me pray for us.